Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
Each of us is weak and flawed. We are all of us sinners in need of a Savior. Each of us is a cracked pot. There is a story that I would like to relate to you about a man who had as his job description, a part of his job description was to go down to the spring at the bottom of this large hill and fill water pots every day and walk back up this long winding road with the water that he had collected to the master's house. He did that every single day. He would walk down with two empty pots and he would fill up the pots. And then he would bring back the water they contained to the master. You see, he would bring back 1.5 pots full of water. Half of the water had already spilled out of the cracked pot, which was on his left. One day, after several years, the pot that was cracked grew so convicted that it said out loud, "I'm sorry." The man, being a bit shocked because he had never talked to a pot before, much less a cracked pot, said, Well, why are you sorry? And the pot said, "Because I'm cracked. And I have leaked out the water that you have placed in me so that we could take it to the Father's house. I have leaked out every single time, and so you've never been able to bring to the Father's table 2 full pots of water. You've only been able to bring 1.5 pots of water." The man looked at him for a minute and smiled and said, "Have you ever noticed that on the side of the pole which I carry each of you on?" You see, the man carried the water over his shoulders on a pole, rather primitive way of carrying it, but he carried one pot which was not cracked and then the pot that was cracked. He said, "Have you ever noticed as we walk up the road, on your side of the road, there are flowers blooming?" And the pot said, "No." He said, "Well, you see, I've known you were cracked from the very beginning. And I knew you would be watering the soil. And so I planted seeds. And for the last 2 years that you have watered those seeds, I have been able to put flowers on the master's table." The moral of that story is simply this. No matter how weak we are, no matter how many cracks we have, God can use our failures to bless His table. God can use our weaknesses through His strength to be a thing of glory. I don't want anyone to believe that what you're doing is too little. Because God, if you are submitted to Him, has a way of using whatever little we have to His glory. Let us go before the Lord in prayer. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, we come asking you for encouragement this day, for a sense of knowledge that as long as we are submitted to you, you will use whatever we bring, however small, however insignificant, to grace and glorify your table. Father, may each of us understand our role in life. That as we journey through this life and we journey toward the purpose that you have given to each of us, that we never doubt nor fear that our weaknesses will be such that you are not glorified, for you are glorified in our effort. Not in what we bring. There is nothing upon this earth that we can bring to buy our way into heaven. Only by your grace and mercy, and only by faith in Jesus Christ, your only Son, who died and rose again, have we access to your loving table. Father, I ask that if there be anything that I would say that is not in your perfect will, to cast it out of the memories of those who hear, that it would never be remembered again, that they would never, ever listen to the words of a man when they have come to hear the words of God. May you speak to us today. For we ask these things. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Today I will be reading from James once again. From James chapter 3:3-4:8. So if you have a Bible, turn with me and read. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in this meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever, therefore, wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously. But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God is the proud, resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. The Jewish understanding, the Jewish mind, can be defined as this, as a practical application. It doesn't consider wisdom or understanding as many of us do. To the Jew, wisdom was shown in the way that you live. Your life displayed the wisdom that you had, and they were to put that wisdom to work. Now, understanding is a word used only in the New Testament, which always refers to a special skill set that professionals have. You know, a plumber has to know about plumbing. A carpenter has to know about carpentry. An accountant has to know about accounting. You have a special knowledge, a special skill set that allows you to do the things that you do in life. That is understanding. But there are two kinds of wisdom. The wisdom that comes from the world, which James dismisses as demonic, and the wisdom that comes from God, and that alone James praises. Because that wisdom that comes from God is the wisdom we should desire, not the wisdom that comes from the world. We should live our lives in such a way to show the world that the wisdom we have is apart from the wisdom of the world. It is the wisdom of God. You may have a worldly wisdom, and that would lead you to selfishness, to be arrogant. For your life becomes all about you. You are the one that the world says should have wisdom. You're the one that should be smart. You're the one that should be clever. You're the one that should be exalted because of your cleverness. That's what the world teaches. That is false. You are to be humble and submitted to God. That is what God's wisdom teaches us. That is what James is trying to teach us. He praises the wisdom that is the heavenly gift that we are to show forth in gentleness. This word gentleness can be defined as a part of God's nature. The word gentleness means tenderness and graciousness and can be translated meekness. It is a characteristic of God's nature which is never bitter, never antagonistic, never self-fulfilling, but always reaches out for others. It is a wisdom that we receive from God that allows God to be honored. That is the characteristic. If love, remember Jesus said, blessed are the meek are gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Jesus tells us, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble at heart. Look at these verses in James once again. Verses chapter 3, verse 14 through 16. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, Do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. That is the wisdom of the world. That is the result of you living by the wisdom of the world. All of us have done that. All of us have allowed ourselves to be filled with the wisdom of the earth. There was a time when I couldn't walk into this auditorium because my ego was too big. It wouldn't fit through those double doors. I was an actor. I thought the world revolved around me. I was wrong. That is the wisdom that is false and ungodly. The wisdom that we recognize is from God. See, the world does not recognize God's sovereignty, God's will, God's truth. That is a false wisdom. The wisdom that is coming from above is described by James in verses 17 and 18 in chapter 3. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceful, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. God gives us a choice. You can choose the world and its wisdom, or you can choose God and God's wisdom. You have free will. You may utilize that any way you desire. You can listen to God's word, or you can ignore God's word. You can take up the wisdom of the world, which says that God is dead, and believe that, or you can believe that God is the God of the living, and He lives forever and ever. You can believe whatever you wish to believe, because God has given you that power. You have free will. But you must know that a God gives freely to those who believe in His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And He gives not only salvation by faith, but He gives godly wisdom. Jesus tells us in Matthew 7:24, and I will read that to you for just a moment. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Jesus is the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. He who follows Jesus and His lifestyle, the lifestyle that Jesus taught us by word and by deed to do, if we live by that lifestyle, then we have the wisdom of God. James teaches us that to claim to be a Christian, you must allow the world to see it in your life. You become a doer of the word, not just a hearer. We've already discussed that. Jesus must become the ruler of your life. If we are true believers, we possess the Holy Spirit of God. That is the mind of God. The mind of Christ descends upon each and every one of us. And we are to do what that Spirit tells us to do. If He tells you to jump the pews, then you're to jump the pews. If you're to walk around and pretend that you're a duck, then please do that. Do whatever God tells you to do. Just make sure it's God and not Mickey Mouse telling you to do it. If we are true believers and possess the Lord's wisdom, it will manifest itself. It will manifest itself in righteousness, selflessness, and peaceful lives. The Apostle Paul, writing under the influence of the Holy Spirit, said in his letter to the church at Ephesus that our God, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, he prayed, might give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. Later he tells us in 5:5, therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. In chapter 4, 1 through 6, James tells us what we war against. Why do we war? We war because we are evil. Because we have bought into the mistakes of the world. We bought into the wisdom that tells us that we are to buy everything we see. We have traded our God in for things. And we have become very poor indeed. In chapter 4, James tells us that true Christians are not a part of that evil world system. Having chosen to depart from it, far from being conformed to the world, we were sent into the world by Jesus Christ our Lord to provide light in the moral and spiritual darkness of the world. We have been crucified to the world, overcome it, and remained unstained by it. To be a friend of the world while claiming to be a Christian is the height of foolishness. James then demands that believers, in response to the divine call of submission, fellowship, cleansing, purification, misery, sorrow, and tears, humble themselves and submit to God. He tells this not just to us, not just to believers, but to every human creature. You just can't do it without God. Without God intervening in your life, you cannot do it. You will always spill part of your intake of God, unless God keeps you in the palm of His hand. The potter, the master potter, can take the crack in your life or the cracks in your life and completely make them whole. These things cannot be found outside of God. You submit to God, and He will find a way where there is no way. Malcolm Muggeridge. I say those words, many of you will not know who he was, but he was a great thinker and the leading atheist in the world. He was a man who argued with C.S. Lewis. He argued against all the kinds of Christian establishment thinking. He argued against it. One day, Malcolm Muggeridge had a revelation. And through that revelation, he was invited to All Search Church in London. And All Search Souls Church in London, England, invited him to speak and to talk about his conversion, which he did. He talked about the conversion that he had had through revelation
that God was his God. That God wasn't dead. God was very much alive. God loved him. God loved the people that were there. Now, the people that were there were mostly atheists. Atheists had come to challenge him. And after his delivery of his sermonette, there were many questions, as you might imagine. Because he had taken a 180-degree turn from the way he was going to the way he was now in the life of Christ. At the end of the questioning, there was one small boy who still had a question. He raised his hand. Every eye turned to the boy. The boy, you see, was in a wheelchair, and he couldn't speak. And yet, Malcolm Muggeridge saw the boy and went over to him and said, "It's all right. I want to hear what you have to say. And I'll stay here all night, if necessary, to hear it." The boy gulped and made noises, and finally he blurted out, "You say that there is a God that loves me." And Malcolm Muggeridge nodded his head, "Yes." And the boy said, "Then why? Why me?" The place was completely silent. Everybody was in anticipation of what answer Muggeridge could give to this young boy. Why, we all wonder, why does someone have not when he promises the abundant life? Why? We always want to know why. Malcolm took some time, silence, and then he looked at the boy and he said, "Would you have come to hear me speak tonight had you been fit, had you been well?" The boy shook his head, "No, I wouldn't have come." He said, "God has given you a hard thing to do, a hard road to travel. But remember, he asked of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, something much, much harder. He asked his only begotten Son to die for us. That's how much he loves us. And I believe that he brought you to this place in a wheelchair, hardly able to speak, because he wanted you to hear God's message of love and to place your faith in him." The boy said, "Could be. Could be." That is the invitation that God gives to those of us who are cracked pots, who are weak, can't do the things we used to do because we've grown older. Our bodies are giving out, it seems, from time to time, and we cannot do the things he calls us to do. Do you think that ever occurred to Moses? He was 80 years old when he began his ministry for God. Do you think that God wants you, like the cracked pot I began with in the sermon, to water the seeds with your failures so that he can use that to create something beautiful that will grace his table? Do you think that God, who loves you, might have brought you here today because you would know how much He loves you and you would respond to Him? Do you think that God might have brought you to this moment to make a decision calling on His wisdom, not the world's, to love you, and you just simply receive it? James tells us, you have not, for you ask not, or you ask amiss, for you ask for things to glorify your body, to give pleasure to you. Have you ever thought that God only wants you to surrender to Him, and that He will lift you up? That is the invitation that we will give this morning. An invitation to life, and life abundant. An invitation to God, who loves you with a love that I cannot explain to you. A love that is so great that He sent His only begotten Son to die for you. And yes, He would have died if you had been the only person in the world to redeem. He would have paid the price for you. Will you receive Him now? Will you bring your brokenness to Him? Will you confess before Him that you need a Savior? You need His hands around you, His loving arms around you, because you're cracked. You just spill out the stuff, the goodness that He brings into you, without ever achieving your purpose, or the purpose you think you have. God knows how fragile we are. And through His strength, He will make us.
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the internet each Sunday at 1105 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.